Giger. Chibis.
Good evening and welcome to the spoopy Big Timmy's House Halloween special.
Ooh.
It's actually a noise that a pigeon makes.
And pigeons are the spookiest animals known to man.
Poop in your mouth.
Poop on everything. They don't give a poop. This evening, you are about to witness some of the most horrific things known to mankind. But first, you will hear a story of terror, excitement, and intrigue. Written by our own David Thomas.
This story was we may have mentioned it in a previous pod, is a story that I wrote myself, as Tim just explained, for the video game Phoenix Point. It was for a writing competition as the game was in development, and this was my story to them. It is titled The Interview. Scene begins within an MI5 interrogation room in Great Britain. Special agents Julian Gollop and John Brumhall, which also happened to be people who were making the game, are interrogating the last known survivor of a recent suspect terrorist attack upon an offshore oil rig located just beneath the North Sea to the east of Scotland. Brumhall stands by the exit of the room, whilst Gollop sits at the table in front of the survivor, a Mr. David Thomas. Myself, because I couldn't think of any other name. Filling out a document and neglecting him of eye contact. Mr. Thomas appears to be in shock, but manages to remain calm. Agent Gollop proceeds to place a dictaphone on the table and begins to record the session. Gollop. This is the second interview of suspect Mr. David Thomas, survivor of the offshore terrorist attack last night at roughly 9 p.m. Interview will be carried out by myself, Agent Gollop, and my partner, Agent Brumhall. It is precisely 14:41 p.m., 6th of November, 2028. Mr. Thomas, would you mind telling us exactly what happened on the night of the attack? Why? You've already recorded it. I know. It was very interesting, but we would like you to tell us again all the same. Brumhall replies, we need to be thorough, Mr. Thomas. There may be some details you remember that you didn't previously. There is an ill silence. As if the silence has a cold or something.
Achoo!
That's too silent.
Oh, sorry. Achoo.
Gollop then breaks the silence. Tell us about your daughter, Mr. Thomas. I don't actually have a daughter.
He doesn't know about her.
You say she is currently in hospital with the Pandora virus, correct? The doctors call it Semedur flu? That translates to sea flu? Uh-huh. Then how is it you claim to have seen her before the attack out at sea? I don't know. Brumhall replies, can you see why we need you to repeat yourself, Mr. Thomas? Just take your time and tell us exactly what happened. David gathers his thoughts and begins to relive the nightmare. It was night. Most of us had already changed shifts. I was in my quarters writing a letter to my daughter, Naomi. Gollop replies. Who was in hospital at that time? I was writing how I planned to take her to Laser Squad on her birthday. It was quiet. All I could hear was the humming of lights and the ocean lapping against the rig. Just like that. I sealed the letter, changed clothes, and was about to settle down for the night. Brimhall replies, go on. I don't know how to describe it. I just sensed something wasn't right.
Ooh.
Something's not right.
There's something wrong.
Yeah, you'll be playing the scene.
Yeah.
Okay, so Gollop, the suspect appears to be agitated. Brimhall, it's all right, Mr. Thomas. You're in safe hands.
Okay.
I stepped down into the hallway, and I could hear people shouting, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
Stop.
Stop it.
I walked outside to see what was going on. It was hard to see at first, as a mist had settled over the rig. But I saw my colleagues, Pearson, Beckett, Parsons. They all walked off the rig. God replies, you're saying they committed suicide? Yes. No, not exactly. They seemed different somehow, like they were hypnotized. My colleagues tried to stop them, but were...
Stop it.
Hang on. My colleagues tried to stop them, but they were just pushed aside. We didn't think they would actually throw themselves off the rig. Moments later, I began to hear a voice.
They've gone mad.
Brimhall says, your daughter? Yes, but not in my head. It sounded like she was somewhere in front of me, calling to me.
Patty.
I didn't believe it at first, but then I saw her silhouette in the mist. It looked so much like Big Timmy.
Daddy, come to me, Daddy.
Yeah, the looking like Big Timmy is not a part of the story. Just want to point that out there. I walked towards her to get a better view. I thought to myself, there was no way it was her. I mean, why would she be here? I heard my colleague shouting at me to stop. I looked down to find myself standing right at the edge of the rig. My brother Ashley pulled me away, forcing me to the floor. Even while he held me down, I could still hear my daughter, like a siren, willing me to my death.
Jump in the water.
Kill yourself.
Kill yourself. Come on, do it, pussy.
Fucking piece of shit.
You're such a wuss. You'll never do it, will you?
I don't want to go to Laser Squad, you cunt.
I fucking hate Laser Squad.
Gollop then says, so you didn't actually see your daughter, just something that resembled her. Correct. Brimhall. Agent Gollop? Not now. Please, Mr. Thomas, continue. Tell us about the attack. You claim there was some kind of monster, or as you call it, a terror from the deep, which is a reference to a game that these guys actually made previous. You wouldn't believe me even if I told you. Try me. After I
take my breath away. Sorry, I thought it was getting romantic.
After I got to my feet, a deep guttural sound reverberated below the rig. Like Donald Duck drowning. Rising up the side through the mist, there were these huge tendrils. I was paralyzed. I felt helpless as it plucked my brother from in front of me, pulling him into the sea. I turned to run to see these small crab-like creatures jump and latch onto people.
Crab people, look like crabs, taste like people.
You scared yet? Agent Gollop, look at his neck! As Mr. Thomas continued his story, his neck slowly turned a dark, scaly turquoise. The same creeped over his hands. The agents slowly moved away from the table and drew their firearms. I ran to my quarters and remember collapsing to the ground. The huge tentacle had latched onto my leg. Then from nowhere, Dawson impales it with some broken piece of pipe. That was a reference to Big Timmy. Before I could thank him, this horrific crustacean impales his head against the wall with its huge talon. Yeah, didn't it?
I died a hero's death.
Wait. Oh, God, what's happening to me? The mist begins to emit from under his clothes and creeps across the room. Gollop shouts, Brumhall, fire!
Oh, my God, hit the face!
How take are we his still ID tag. He's right in front of us.
Fire in the mist.
Both agents open fire on Mr. Thomas, each bullet releasing more mist filling the room. The final sounds to be recorded are the agents choking, followed by silence and an unearthly clicking noise. And that's how it ends. Scary. Especially with the sound effects.
Well, that wasn't even scary. Let's see what comes up next, shall we?
As a reminder, I guess, for the rules, so then the spooky man can then say it when you piece it together, is that one of us is a therapist asking questions, as a therapist would, and then the other person is the patient, and the patient is the villain of a horror film. Although mine is more, I suppose, the hero, but is technically villain as well, because he's the reason why everything happens. So
interesting.
I'll do it from his perspective. but that's the general thing, and then it's up for the audience to guess what film it is.
And you can submit your answers on the Big Timmy's House Facebook page or Twitter. So, yay for you. If you guess it correctly, you'll get a pat on the back. Or a shout out, something, I don't know.
A digital pat on the back.
A digital pat on the back. It's what everyone's after nowadays.
You might not see it on your side, but we've definitely sent it.
I'm just patting the computer screen as we speak. Just in advance, so yeah. You know.
For those who guess it. That.
I guess you could be the therapist first, and I'll be the...
Alrighty. So it's my job just to give questions. It's all improvised. And then Tim will just respond as his character would. But we're trying to make these villains not I'm a murderer. I just wanted to murder them. We're trying to make out that these are just normal people. And what they do, they don't think is bad. And I don't see what's wrong with it.
It's a Laura fun. It's a Laura fun.
Okay. Good evening. Good evening. Thank you for attending the appointment. I hope you're nice and relaxed now. I just need you to breathe in and then breathe out again. And then whenever you're ready, feel free to begin talking. I want to take you back now to a few years ago. That's right. Get it out.
Hang on. I'll just take this off. Sorry.
I'm worried that you fell asleep then.
Sorry. It's difficult to breathe in this thing. I'm just going to put it. Take this off.
Yeah, I've had some complaints about putting a carrier bag over people's heads.
Well, I mean, it looks like a carrier bag, but it's supposed to be Captain Kirk, so, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
It's not that bad, is it?
I need to make it so it doesn't look too scary. Don't want to scare patients away.
I mean, Captain Kirk is quite scary. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'll make a note for myself.
I brought this mask.
Okay. Oh, so it wasn't even one of ours from the drawers.
No, this is mine. See, my name's on it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, fair enough then. All right. Well, I just need to take you back now to a number of years. Yeah, take me back and tell me how it all first began. How did it start?
Well, it was, I can't really remember too much, but it was, I was dressed as a clown, and I had a little mask on, and I just wanted to go out trick or treating, really. And okay. I sort of, looked around the outside of my house for my sister. I think she had a boyfriend round, and then I couldn't find them downstairs, so I went upstairs, and my sister was there, and she was, well, she was naked.
And how did that make you feel?
Angry.
Angry. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And then I sort of just, the next thing I remember, I'm outside covered in jam. I think it was jam. Pretty sure it was jam.
Okay.
I mean, Mum and Dad found me. Yeah.
And how did they react when they saw you covered in jam?
They were like, "What are you doing outside? Is that jam?" And yeah, that's all I can really remember. The rest is sort of a blur. It's a bit of a. I remember there being like, well, that's when I first came to see you, actually.
Okay. When was the next memory after this incident that happened with the jam incident? What's the next memory that you remember?
It must have been in like, I guess the 70s. Late 70s, maybe.
So how many years roughly do you think that would be?
Oh, maybe like 20 years.
Wow, so there's quite 20. A gap there then.
At least 20 years. Yeah, I do have a memory of just staring in at the corner of the room.
Yes, yeah. I mean, you're not even facing me right now.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I thought you were.
No, it's fine. There. I mean, as long as we got you in a mental state and a nice, calm, relaxed state, it's whatever works for you.
Sorry, what is that in the corner?
That is that's a lamp.
Oh, sorry. I thought that was you.
No.
God, I have a real problem distinguishing, like.
I know. My haircut people. Looks like a lampshade sometimes, but here, I'll tie it back.
Okay, that's better. Yeah. Now, yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Actually, yeah. I think so.
Okay.
Okay.
So we're now 20 years. We're now in the 70s. It's yes. 20 years after the jam incident.
It might be the 80s.
Okay.
You know, I've been away for quite some time.
Those years kind of blurred together, to be fair.
You know, it's all a blur. That's exactly what I think. Life is a blur.
Much like the band.
Yes. So I was supposed to be you were transferring me to another unit, and I
correct.
I had to get out of the service station to use the bathroom, because it's quite a long way, and I ended up you left me, if you recall. I basically thought, hang on a second. The town that I grew up in, that I used to live in when I was a kid, that's just down the road. I think I'll go and pop in on the old house and see if, if anyone's about, anyone's knocking about, all my old pals like Lampy and Dresser.
Lampy
was a tall guy. Kind of looks a bit like you, actually. And then Dresser, he was a bit squat and short, had drawers.
Okay.
Great guy. And there's Betty as well. He was an actual bed.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. So I thought, I'll go and see if the old gang's knocking about.
So would most of your friends normally just I don't want to use the word imaginary, but people that were at home, did you talk amongst with people your own age at all outside of your house?
No. I did try and talk to some people, but I'm just really awkward. I sort of see them and then I get scared. So, I'll spot them and go, oh, look, there's some girls. Like, I kept seeing these girls, this girl around, and she's quite attractive. And then I got nervous, so I'd sort of like hide away.
Okay.
I didn't want to be seen. I didn't want to, it's awkward meeting people nowadays because you don't know whether you'll say something offensive or whether you'll, accidentally bring up the fact that like people have been murdered or something. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you got to be careful what to put on Tinder.
Yeah, I just I want to meet people face to face, but I'm scared of faces.
Okay, now that makes sense.
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Hence the mask, I guess.
Yeah, I'd like to hide because it, it is. Yeah, so I found this mask in a hardware store actually.
Okay.
And the hardware store was closed, so I sort of did steal it, but you know what? The hardware stores, they make too much money anyway. What do they give back to the community? What do they give back? Do they give strong doors? I don't think so.
Depends on the business, I suppose. But let's get back to the situation at hand. So you went to the home, and then was it after your home you went to the hardware store?
Yes, and that's when I saw the girls. Like I was sort of driving round, and I could see these girls, and they were driving in a red car, and I'm not one of those people. I'm not like a narc, but I'm pretty sure they were smoking marijuana.
And was one of these girls the ones that you're interested in, or are these just a different bunch of girls?
Oh, they were the ones that I was interested in. I was sort of like, I tell you what, I mean, I get a little obsessive. Once I sort of hone in on someone, like I'll just follow them for like 4 or 5 movies, I guess.
Okay, so you got strong determination.
Yeah,
but
I tell you
just
what,
not
you
the
could
confidence to finalize and make that last step at saying hello.
You could hit me with a car, and I'll get back up. You could shoot me, and I'll just carry on walking, because once I want to say hello to you, that's it. You're mine.
Are those words from a song?
Yeah, I believe it's
it sounded almost poetic what you were saying.
Yeah, well, I'm actually a songwriter myself. I wrote the score. I wrote the score for my own life. It's like,
okay. How did it go?
It's kind of really creepy and the kind of thing you play at Halloween, I guess.
Okay. So you saw these girls and they're in a red car. What happened next?
Well, I followed them, which I know, creepy. Like, we live in the age of Me Too where, it's not appropriate to follow anyone, like, anyone in your car. But when you have the attraction that I have, like, there's no other way. And what I noticed is, like, because there were two of them, there was a smaller one, and she was quite... I'm sort of into her. So I thought maybe I'd try with her first. So I noticed that they were she was babysitting.
Okay.
And she started doing some washing and I sort of watched her skimping around and she's in like this white shirt. Like, you know what it's like. You see a girl just wearing a shirt and you're like, whoa, whoa.
Did this remind you of your sister when she was naked that time?
Sort of, yeah. And I mean, look, not to be weird, but this chick is a lot hotter than my sister. and so she was like, she got stuck in the doorway, and I guess I just sort of watched her being stuck, because I was looking at her through that window, and I'm not sure why she didn't see me. I think she was teasing me, sort of thing. So she then takes the little girl that she's looking after over the road to the other one, and I was like, score, she probably saw me, and she's probably after a bit of Nookie. So I got my protection. Mother always said keep protection on you, so I always carry a knife. Like
Knife. Oh, so not condoms then.
Oh no, what's condom?
I see.
I'm assuming that all women have some sort of like thing, because well, anyway, like I approached her and I was like, you know, I'm nervous because she's a girl and I've just been locked up in a mental institution for the past 20 years. So I sort of, you know, saw her there and she's all sexy and she starts running away, which I assume is just like she's trying to play hard to get. So I went up and I tried to initiate sexual contact by stabbing her repeatedly.
Right. And you believe that is sexual contact?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure, like I'm 26. I know what I'm talking about, man.
So do you believe that's what your mum and dad did when they conceived you? That your dad stabbed your mother?
Yeah, sure. He would always say that he stabbed. He was like, oh, son, I stabbed your mum with my pork sword last night. And I'm assuming that this is the knife that you used to cut pork with, so.
I see. Okay. Well, continue on.
So, you know, I was sort of clearing up and I was like, that was great. And she sort of went quiet. So I'm assuming I'm like, huh, well, obviously she's done with me. She's probably playing dead or something. You know, sometimes women do that. I think it's called ghosting. Anyway, so I started just like, you know, clearing up, like, getting ready to maybe go and see the other one, see, because she seemed to be a bit more chatty. So at that point, this blonde girl came in with a chap, and I was like, ooh, maybe it's time to get maybe we're gonna have a three-way, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not, it's the modern age, let's all do each other, that's what I say. So they went upstairs and they were definitely, there was a lot of stabbing going on because she was going, ah, 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 ah. And he was all like, oh, yeah, take it, take it, take it. And I was nervous. So
did he at any point say, call me Henry?
He did. How did you know?
It seems to be a common phrase for men to say.
Okay. During lovemaking.
Mm.
So he came downstairs and was getting some beers, and I was like, I thought, why not just give in to my sort of bi curiousness? So I initiated with him. I stabbed him, and he sort of went. He was like, he didn't look like he enjoyed it. So I guess I must have done something wrong. So I thought, well, I'll tell you what, I'll go and see if she likes it. But I thought, why not play it kinky? And I dressed up as a ghost. I put a white sheet in, cut the eye holes out, and came up. And she was all like, she was totally into it. She was like, oh, yeah, come here. Like, where's my beer? And I was like, I don't know. I don't drink beer. And then she was like, then I totally stabbed her over and over. And she was all like, ah, help, help, help. Which I'm assuming is what you cry when you're really enjoying it. But again, too nervous to speak.
I see. Okay.
So at that point, I decided to leave. And I thought, well, it looked like the girls were sick because there was lots of jam coming out of them. So I decided to take them out. And the girl over the road, the cute girl, a bit nerdy, she saw me and she's like, ah! And I'm assuming that that's like a mating call, because the other ones were doing it while we were like while we were stabbing. So I was just like, fine, let's go. And I sort of came towards her, and these kids were there, and it was like, that's weird. But I sort of, you know, got her alone and stuff, and she kept like ushering the kids to get away. And I was like, well, yeah, because we don't want them to see what happens. And then she sort of, well, next thing I remember, I just sort of was like lying on the ground facing upwards.
All right. Okay. I had one question during that story. Do you know what jam is?
It's the stuff that comes out of people, isn't it? Like when you have a donut and you stab the donut, jam comes out. It's
right.
The same with people.
Okay.
I didn't realize that people were made of confectionery.
So you believe that we have jam pumping through our veins?
Of course.
That's why people say
they're getting into the jam.
Well, what type of jam do you believe that we have inside us?
Well, I guess it depends on the person. A lot of these people seem to have like strawberry, I guess.
Okay.
But I'm sure there's people with apricot and blackcurrant. Like, you know, there's all sorts
right.
of jams. It's not just one jam.
Do you know what blood is?
Blood? Nah. Is that what you put on toast?
We'll come back to that on tomorrow's session. It can continue.
Well, that's it. That's all I can remember. I sort of like, okay, so I just walked, I got up and walked down to the camp. So, you know, campgrounds. That's where we are now.
Okay. We're going to do one last thing before we end our session for today. I've got a series, I've got like three sheets of paper here. There's like an ink blot test. You've ever heard of an ink blot test?
I'm afraid I'm not familiar with any reality TV, so no.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, it's a simple test where there's this just stained bits of paper with big ink blots, and when I show them to you, you just tell me the first thing that comes to mind, what you see in the ink.
Can I put the mask on? Because I think I'd be more comfortable doing it with the mask on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Right, hang on. Oh, okay, go.
You need to put it over your head, not in your mouth.
No, it's not over my head. It's what it sounds like.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay, well, here's the first ink block. Tell me, what's the first thing you see?
I see a sword and horror.
Sword.
Right.
Okay. Not sure how to spell that. And now for the second ink blot, tell me the first thing that comes to mind.
You look like a bear on your shirt, and then the mouth on your heart.
I'm glad I'm recording this session. And the third, final one, please tell me the first thing you see.
Okay.
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't catch that. One more time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I understand.
See? You're going to do that.
It's interesting because that's actually my 8-year-old's drawing. So, Thank you very much. Well, thank you for today's session. Remember all the things that we discussed today. Remember, go through our exercises when you're at home, the breathing techniques and such. And I'll see you tomorrow, same time.
Oh, hell.
Take care and try not to stab anyone.
Well, that wasn't really scary, was it? Maybe a little bit. But I think we can do much better next week. So why not tune in next week to Big Timmy's house for more creepy Halloween stories? Now get out of